You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So much developing, and I'll start you out locally. The heat index is expected to exceed 100 degrees, about 105 degrees. That's what it feels like today, which is why the National Weather Service has issued all of these alerts and warnings for all of us. Be safe, baby, as Mama Zilli always says, if you're out there, and especially if you're out there working. We are expecting the sentencing hearing for former Philadelphia police officer Mark Dial today. He's facing up to 20 years behind bars. Remember, this was that tragic traffic stop involving Eddie Irizarry, also 28 years old. So we're waiting for that one. And we'll highlight as well the story we'll update in Montgomery County with ICE serving a proper and legal search warrant. And we have an update on that one. I want to get to two stories. Number one, the story of the National Transportation Safety Board. They've released their preliminary report on the skydiving plane crash. Remember this? About a month ago, that injured 14 people in South Jersey. It was Gloucester County, New Jersey. It was actually earlier this month. So the crash happened July 2nd, if you remember, Cross Keys Airport. And you think about these individuals, skydivers. So they've revealed now that the Cessna single engine plane went down after the pilot reported that the engine just went dead, just lost power, if you can imagine that. And then it was on its second flight of the day with these skydiving teams, and they tried to land. It went off the road, off the runway there at the Cross Keys Airport. 14 of the 15 people on board were injured. Thank God, survived, but were injured. Final report into the exact cause of that engine failure. That could take some months, but we now know that that engine just went dead. So kudos to that pilot who was able to get this thing down and try to land it, but unfortunately lost a little control on the runways. They were trying to deal with that situation. And the other story, I believe, Dan, you have the report locally from 6ABC, is it?
Yep.
And this one has to do with, and it's updating you on the second in a month, the second lightning strike death. This one, as a local Boy Scout troop was it was an award ceremony. And this lightning during the storms, well, no, I should say during a lack of storms, okay, strikes. And they know what to do. They're prepared. Still, they had a deadly situation. Listen in.
Rick, the publicity director, says the 61-year-old man who died was an instructor, and he would always show up to volunteer, and that's exactly what they were doing here tonight. The director says they were in the middle of teaching a local Boy Scout troop when lightning struck. Now, Jackson Township police say officers arrived to Black Knight Bowbenders in the township after 7 p.m. due to reports of several people being hit by lightning at this outdoor archery range. Police say the 61-year-old man died while 13 others suffered injuries, ranging from burns to complaints of not feeling well. The victims range in age from 7 to 61 years old, and at least 8 of them are juveniles. At the scene, police say a man was given CPR while others were triaged, including some who were unconscious but regained consciousness. The publicity director also ran over to help those who were hurt. He says the strike was so loud and powerful, he even felt it.
It hit this tree. You can see where the roots are exposed underneath the tree. Dirt flew up, and one of the club members, a big guy, like a 240-pound guy, got thrown up against a tree, You know, some of these guys are my best friends. It's hard. We've never lost a member in this fashion. There was no indication of anything. It did not rain. There was no light, no thunder. There was nothing. It was just like the finger of God came down and pow.
So I do have breaking news right now. I'm just going to take you to the breaking news on former Philadelphia police officer Mark Dial, sentenced to parole after being convicted, you may recall, last May, convicted of voluntary manslaughter. That was the lesser charge that he was facing in the shooting death, a tragic traffic stop death, as you may recall, of Eddie Irizarry, who at the time had evaded police, was driving the wrong way in a one-way street. Officers were trying to stop him, had defied the orders to get out of the vehicle. We later learned that Eddie Irizarry, in fact, the family said that he had severe mental health problems, schizophrenia, and did not understand or speak English. That from the family. So that shooting happened during a 2023 traffic stop in Philadelphia. This is making national news right now as the breaking news of the fact that former Philadelphia police officer Mark Dial has been sentenced to immediate parole. He was facing 20 years behind bars, and that was something pushed for, if you may recall, by District Attorney Larry Krasner, who, in fact, immediately wanted to charge this policeman with no other record, nothing of that nature, with first-degree murder. The jury did not buy that. In fact, the jury did not convict him on the tougher charges. For example, the jury exonerated him from third-degree murder, let alone first-degree murder, which is what Krasner immediately and initially had charged him with that. And so at this point, it's a sentencing decision made by Judge Glenn Bronson here in Philadelphia, who, by the way, also presided over the trial. The district attorney's office had tried to have the former officer, Mark Dial, held in custody pending sentencing, but the judge had denied that request, saying that Dial was absolutely not any kind of a flight risk or a risk at all to the community. So we have that. It's huge news in Philadelphia, and I imagine for Sergeant Mark Fuzetti, our friend, longtime friend who we know was among those in the court giving the statements to try to vouch for this officer. I know that Officer Mark Dial has had a huge amount of support in the community, and particularly in the police community, who have felt that this was an injustice to try to put this young man, this young cop, behind bars for the next 20 years of his life. If you have reaction to that, and we'll try to get Sergeant Mark Fuzetti, as I can only imagine, you know, the aftermath outside the courtroom, because there have been many family members, friends, and supporters of Officer Mark Dial as he has spent, you know, the last couple of years fighting this thing. As far as the family of Eddie Irizarry, his family has been heartbroken over this entire situation, and they supported the district attorney trying to charge and lock away this former officer. And my heart goes out to this family. They lost a loved one that day as well during that traffic stop, and certainly their grief. You know, we feel their grief. It was a tragedy, but I feel that the timing of this trial in May, remember, right before the primary election, that was pimping the emotions of this grieving family who lost a loved one. And perhaps we have to revisit things like, you know, let's say drivers who are suffering mentally. Did you know, the shooting victim in this, did he have all the care and the medication that he needed? And also I'll ask the question as well, to understand for, you know, certain amounts of English to get a driver's license. I don't know if he had a legal driver's license, but that's an important piece of this as well. I think there were other ways to have compassion, to deal with this horrifying situation in Philadelphia, but to try to lock away an officer who, by all accounts, has a clean record, a good person, and his parents, his community by his side, I don't think that was the best use of the court system. And even if we want to go down the road of, you know, and many times we've seen other parents in situations say that they want and demand different types of training. Okay, we've seen that in New Jersey. I'm a person with a big heart, and I feel for both of these families, the family of Mark Dial, because the, you know, it always struck me they don't give the age of Mark Dial. They always gave the age of Eddie Irizarry, who died that day. And I'm sad for the family. I've prayed for the Irizarry family. I hope you have too. But this is the tale of two 28-year-old young men. And to say that one deserves to be locked away in prison for the rest of his life, which is what the DA's office wanted, I don't think that's justice either. 855-839-1210 if you have an opinion on that one. But this is making huge news and local stations. As a matter of fact, Dan Borowski, I'm watching live on the air the NBC, local NBC 10, which is a sister station to KYW News Radio, who's in our building.
It's also youtube.com/@12MWPHD. That's what we're showing on our feed right now.
So thank you, Dan, because we're waiting. The media is waiting for, you know, Mark McMonagle, the attorney who's done a fantastic job. McMonagle, one of the best, by all accounts, defense attorneys.
I just spoke with Sergeant Mark Fusetti. He's actually in the courtroom. There's a line to get out right now, but he says once he exits the courtroom, he will be giving us a ring.
Perfect. Thank you, Dan. So, you know, he was giving that statement to vouch for the character of the former officer, Mark Dial, as well as many others. So what we're looking at outside the court here is the media is waiting for that reaction. When that happens, and when Fusetti can call in, as you've heard, they're all in the courtroom reacting to this. I can tell you, as a longtime news reporter in those moments, you're seeing the tale of two different families. For the family, for the parents of Dial, and for those, you know, fellow officers and that sort of thing, you're seeing tears. You're seeing hugging. You're seeing relief for one family who will bring their son home, their loved one home. And there's a celebration of justice. On the other hand, what we're seeing right now, first and foremost, the tearful family members of Eddie Irizarry, as they are now with, and we want to take this live, actually, because let's take this live if we can. They are reacting. The family of Eddie Irizarry reacting. Their T-shirts of Eddie Irizarry with his picture. And as they react, because they're still grief-stricken, for their loved ones, and so they feel no doubt.
Unbelievable. Again, my nephew's life, as if it didn't matter at all. He literally took his life. There was more than enough evidence. 6 seconds, for crying out loud, and he gets to go home again. And what do we have? Now to go to a cemetery and visit Eddie all over again. But we didn't fail him. The system failed him. Not the family, because we fought hard. The system failed him.
Were you expecting some jail time?
Of course we were.
I mean, if it was me and I would have committed this crime, I would have been, if years, I would have been doing life in prison.
You wouldn't have been
so
out.
He was a cop, so he gets the okay. But that's where they messed up at, because now you're telling everybody, okay, y'all go ahead and get shot, and the cop's going to walk off. Because right now, he's walking out with his family. We need to go to a cemetery.
The judge said that he thinks he feels remorse. What do you think about that?
Bull.
He does not feel remorse. Those tears were not there. Those tears just started today. Those tears started in May of 2025. Those tears were never there all along. Never. Not once did they even look our way. Not once did he even say he was sorry. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So, I don't buy them.
What's your message to the court?
So, they need to stop failing the people. They need to stop failing the little people.
Yeah.
So what we're covering right now is, this is live, this is local, this is real, and as you're hearing, it's raw, as the grief-stricken family of Eddie Irizarry, this was a traffic stop attempt that turned tragic, and this was somebody who, you know, the police were pursuing him, trying to pull him over as he was driving erratically. He ran a red light, according to police. And as well, then, went the wrong way down a one-way street. And as law enforcement was ordering him out of the vehicle, he was defying law enforcement, defying those orders. And so in those moments, he had in his hand a knife, had a weapon in his hand. They could see something was in his hand. There was, you know, and there were conflicting reports. Did his partner, did Officer Mark Dial at the time, did his partner yell, he's got a gun? Or did they yell, he's got a knife? He had something in his hand. In that split second, the 28-year-old officer at the time firing through the driver's side window and shooting, and at the end of the day, shooting and killing Eddie Irizarry, who we later learned was a diagnosed schizophrenic, had major mental health problems, and the family has repeatedly said that he had moved from Puerto Rico, had lived here, you know, for many years in Philadelphia after moving there, but that he, according to the family, did not speak English and did not understand English and could not have understood the officers. So that was the word, just to review with you, this trial. It was a May trial, and the jury had exonerated Mark Dial from the more serious charges. And remember, in the back and forth process within the proceedings, and this took more than 2 years to even bring it to trial, D.A. Krasner wanting to hold him accountable at the highest level, saying that this was first-degree murder, that was thrown out. But even on the other, you know, third-degree murder charges, those did not stick with a Philadelphia jury. So we're waiting to hear from his defense team as they have fought hard for justice, and they have fought hard to make sure that this particular former officer, that he did not go to jail for 20 years. He has received immediate parole. That's the word, and that's why you're hearing from the family first. We'll get more reaction from the other side and your reaction. 855-839-1210. Thanks for being here today. We'll be right back.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it?
Yeah, so do we.
Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark Dial is a free man at this hour. Major breaking news. His defense team,
his family, his career as a police officer. We're not surprised. We had faith that the judge would carefully consider everything.
Just one quick question. Are you guys considering still appealing his conviction at all, or are you still looking at that?
We haven't made any decisions beyond today. Our focus has really been on making sure that Mark is able to get on with the rest of his life, that he not return to prison. And we're overjoyed by today, and we'll discuss, you know, the future in the future.
Thank you, guys.
So the breaking news at this hour, you just heard his defense team speaking there. But this is former Philadelphia police officer Mark Dial, a free man at this hour, after a Philadelphia judge has issued the ruling on his sentence. And this follows that May trial over the tragic traffic stop back in 2023 and the shooting death of Eddie Irizarry. So here's what happened in court. Mark Dial was sentenced to 9.5 months to 2 years in prison, but he's being granted immediate parole because he has already served the 10 months behind bars. And so that's why he gets the immediate parole. In other words, if you're sentenced to 9.5 months, you've served more than that mandatory minimum, and so letting him go. We do have Sergeant Mark Fuzetti, who was there in the courtroom. Good morning. Your reaction? Hey.
It's such a it's a sad day. You know, somebody did, you know, die, and somebody lost their career. But the judge knew as soon as he started speaking. You could tell In my own belief, I don't believe he even agreed with the verdict. He knew Mark should reason to believe that his life was in danger. The judge even said, everybody heard it. He said gun. Mark believed it was a gun. The knife handle looked like a gun handle. You look, hindsight's always 20/20. You kind of think like, oh, if he went with a judge instead of a jury, he would have been found not guilty and got his job back. But at least he gets to go home with his family.
What was the reaction? Can you just paint a picture for us as far as that reaction in the courtroom by, you know, and I know Mark Dial, you know, usually his parents are in the courtroom, but I imagine it was a packed courtroom. Can you just describe for us what it was like inside the courtroom?
It was packed, a lot of officers, a lot of uniform support, family, friends. They had to move it to a bigger courtroom because of all the people. And, you know, everyone tried to keep their emotions, and they really go over, emphasize, you know, somebody's not going to be happy with someone that is sentenced. Yeah. So please keep, you know, proper decorum in a courtroom. And when he said 9.5 months to 2 years, he's already did 10 months. I'm granting immediate parole. It was just a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Like you could hear the gasp of, oh, thank God, from everybody. And then, you know, Eddie's family, and understandably, were upset, and people tried to storm out of the courtroom, but the judge kind of, you know, told everyone to just calm down and sit back down. And then he adjourned and the family left, and, you know, everybody got to hug Mark and his mom and his girlfriend and all his family and friends.
You know, for you, and I know that you were one of, you know, there were people essentially when a sentencing like this happens, because there was a guilty verdict on a far lesser charge. And I've talked at great length, as you know, about how Krasner wanted a first degree murder. He wanted to go then for the third degree. The jury didn't go for that. They went for that lesser one. But, you know, in this kind of a situation, there are people who want to vouch for somebody and want to tell the judge this is a good person and this is why. In other words, it's the community plea, the family plea to show grace and not sentence a young man to the next 20 years behind bars for what really accounts to, like you've said, a workplace split second decision when your partner yells he's got a gun. What was it that you said and that others said in the court to this judge and submitting those in writing to try to, you know, to make people understand, first of all, the mindset of an officer and why this particular officer you would hope would go free today as he is?
Yeah, it was, you know, my letter to the court and message to the judge was a simple one. Mark is friends with my son, and my one son had some issues with, you know, addiction and, you know, trouble with the law. And Mark, being a police officer, like many cops would push that kind of person away. Mark took him under his wing, showed him, hey, listen, this is what happens when you're a good member of society. You don't need to be the person that drinks and shows off for everybody. You don't need to be the womanizer. You can just be a good person. I'm going to show you how I was a good person by just being a normal, you know, member of society. And that's what Mark did for him. Like, would bring him out, would always be his supporter. And I truly believe if it weren't for Mark, I wouldn't have my son here today. And that was my message to the judge. That was my message to the court. You know, this is a tragedy, one that he is devastated about, not for his own safety, not for his own freedom, but he took a life and he hates it.
Yeah.
And he showed sympathy and compassion and regret from the second he pulled the trigger, and the judge saw that, and everybody had the same message. He is a great, there's nothing they could even the prosecutors couldn't argue about how good of a human being he is. He's just a great role model. And even with his conviction, the police department still lost a great, great police officer.
And that's just it, Mark. I just wonder, what is the long-term impact? Because I feel like policing, it's the only profession that I can think of where, you know, let's say a doctor, a nurse, even a journalist does something where they're accused of doing something that's criminal or nefarious or unethical. The media and the world and the community does not judge the entire profession. That's not the case
exactly.
in policing. in policing, one officer is accused of something and everybody is sort of convicted and painted with this broad brush. And so essentially, during a trial like this, it's kind of like the entire Philadelphia Police Department. Every police officer is on trial. What's the emotional impact of that for law enforcement?
Right. This is one of the things I've always been concerned with my friends, you know, people I know and care about that are still in law enforcement. When an incident like this happens, everybody takes a look in the mirror and says, wait a minute, is this going to happen to me if I have to make this split second decision? And God forbid, I'm doing everything by the book. I'm doing everything right. I think my life is in danger and I have 1 to 3 seconds to make a decision and I make the wrong one. Now, am I going to jail? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to have protesters at my house? Now, while you're thinking that, while the crime is happening, you're dead. It's over. You don't have that kind of time. So that's what this puts in the mind of others, other officers. It's, what do I do in this situation now? Do I now run away? You know, it's doing things that you're not trained to do to protect your own, you know, safety, your own freedom.
Yeah.
And that's the message that Krasner sends when he does this to people. And I know wholeheartedly Krasner knew he wasn't going to get anything more than what he did. That's why he pushed for the murder back last year, had Mark sit in jail for 10 months. That was the punishment. Krasner knew what he was doing. That was the punishment then. Thank God the judge was a very well-educated, professional, level-headed, master of the court that saw what this was. It was a tragedy. Mark reasonably believed his life was in danger. All the facts pointed to that, and that's why he gets to go home today. And it doesn't, you know, take away from what the family lost. They lost a loved one tragically. That's horrible. Mark is very sorry for that. He's been sorry since the moment it happened. There's no winners here. But this is just another situation where I wish our district attorney would just, put the blinders on when it comes to our police officers and realize these guys and men and women are making decisions that he would fail at, and to judge them over and over and to put their lives through what they do is just not right. And it takes effect on the thousands of cops that work in this city or any cop that comes into this city. You know, you make a mistake, even though you're doing everything right and you're doing everything by the book, you make a mistake, I'm coming for you. And that's a terrible message, because any police officer on the street right now that has to make a life or death decision and they start thinking about Larry and what he's going to do, it's over.
Sergeant Mark Fuzetti, thank you so much for sharing this emotional day, this breaking news story. And as I said off the beginning, I pray for the Irizarry family who's grieving, but also the family of former officer Mark Dial, because they've been through it. So thank you so much. We just appreciate you, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Dawn. I appreciate it. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I do back the blue, and I'm proud of that, because we have to support our law enforcement. And so to me, the answer on this one is, and I hope that the Irizarry family gets some counseling. I know they've reached out for that. But in this case, it's a real example of the importance of the mental, not just the mental health crisis, people who have things like schizophrenia as well as other mental health situations. And then as well, if they don't speak any English or very limited, I just have to question that as well. We need to rethink driving, driver's licenses, and perhaps combine that with police training. Although right now, think about what's going on after the defund the police movement. You think about, you have to be in the academy basically a year if you go into law enforcement, because the training, we keep saying, well, train differently. What does that do? Extending the training. So when we look at how far we're down, well over, as I look at the stats, at least 1,200, if not more than that, maybe closer to 1,400, because so many cops are retiring. And this case in point is one of the reasons why.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, These shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Other headlines of the day that I've been giving, there's some, man, what the news cycle anymore, right? So just to update for you, the Senate did pass that $9 billion in DOGE cuts. And what does that mean? In part, it defunds the corporation that doles out those, your federal tax dollars and mine, to NPR and PBS. So this goes back to Congress funding this corporation back in the 60s, but they were mandated to never be political. So they were ordered to be a nonprofit, unbiased news source that would serve the community. And this is back in the beginning of the days, really, of television news and obviously radio as well. But they were mandated that they could never be political. They could never be partisan, nor could they ever show that bias. It's written right into that doctrine is when Congress created this. I'm just pointing this out to you. And so the truth is, I think that they not only, you know, were on the line, they crossed the line, and then they went way far over the line over the years. And so it's they're unraveling with these funds, which I don't think are necessary as somebody who's worked in media in the private sector and television, the vast majority of my adult life. I just think they blew it for themselves because they didn't even try to pretend that they were unbiased. They didn't even try anybody. I mean, there was a point, right? Maybe around the time my kids were born, people at least tried to pretend that they were unbiased. But lately it's changed. We've seen that change over the past, I'll say, decade, especially with social media and smartphones. They were just proud to be liberal and bash conservatives, make fun of conservatives, focus on the successes or what they deemed a success for Democrats and what they felt were the failures of conservatives and Republicans. And so they blew it. They did this for them. The gravy train is over, people, but you did it to yourselves. And that's so we talk about NPR and PBS because that's what you know, but it's the corporation. That's the one that the overall corporation that then funnels the money to them. So sorry. And you can still have those entities, but do what we do here. Do what every private sector company does. Go out and do sales and advertising. And if you want to have subscriptions, fine. Then go get them. Go out in the community. Get them yourself. But I don't have any pity with that because their CEOs, highly paid, they were unabashed in their support for Democrats and criticism of Republicans. They got political and they should have known the deal. It's right there in the charter. Look it up yourself. So we have all of that going on. As we look at, I'm looking at Dave McCormick's X feed. He was very, really basking in the success of his belief that President Donald J. Trump's leadership is bringing us back on this day. Speaking of Pennsylvania this week, it really was a great look at a victory for Pennsylvania. So that caught my eye that he was thanking President Trump that made this possible this week, a huge success. Dan Borowski, what am I missing? We have so much going on. I do want to get to the Montgomery County story because we talked about that earlier and we haven't touched on it. How are you? Hi. We're taking a breath, man.
Yeah, no, there's so much going on today. I'm over here kind of buzzing around, seeing what's going on. Just about an hour ago, there's a Senate confirmation hearing going on for Emile Bove, a federal judge who's being nominated, a Senate panel. And Cory Booker took his chance to make a big grandstandula type moment again. You want to hear the audio?
Yeah.
Integrity, how could you be doing this? At least have a vote on my point of order. Sir, with all appeals to your decency, with all appeals to your integrity, with all appeals to past jurisdiction and past precedent, why are you doing this? This is outrageous.
This is a kangaroo court. That's what we have here.
This is wrong. To violate your own rules without going by the mandates of the parliamentarian. This is unbelievable. There's a way to do this. If you want to force this through, if you want to ram this through, there's a way to do it in accordance to the rules as spelled out by the parliamentarian. It is simple. It is clear. There's a pathway to achieve what you're trying to achieve.
People are walking out, as Booker says, the Democrats walking out of the hearing.
But sir, this lacks decency. It lacks decorum. It shows that you do not want to simply hear from your colleagues. This is absolutely wrong.
And so in this one, as we have now, the this is in the Senate, and the Democrats, as Dan just said, walking out of the vote of Emile Bove's judicial nomination, President Trump nominating Mr. Bove, a senior Justice Department official, to be a judge on the third U.S. Circuit of Appeals. And so this is the Bove vote, if you will, and you hear Booker. I don't see, you know, not to the level of tears of rage, because I don't know if we'll have a Zioli impression, because I just, those were some fun days when Zioli used to go into it with the Cory Booker tears of rage. But all I can think about is Cory Booker as a teenager, you know, making the appeal, Mom, this is an outrage. You said I could have
the crocodile tears,
the keys to the car. My friends are going out. My buddies from Penn State, they're here. We need this. It's an outrage. I'm a good kid.
I had tears of rage.
So he's just, he comes off as so whiny.
Can I have a hug?
I know. He needs a hug, people. Give
the
man a
hug. About the closest I'll probably ever have in my life to an I Am Spartacus moment.
Those were the days. Those were the days. And by the way, there's another headline. So we talked about the rescissions vote. They call it the rescissions vote. I hate that because, like, rescissions vote. It's basically voting in DOGE. That's the Department of Government Efficiency decided what cuts needed to happen in the budget. And these are things that you and I do every single day in our lives to, you know, balance our budget. So that's going on. It'll go back to the House. The House could vote on this legislation today. But for sure, it looks like Trump will vote it into law as long as everything goes smoothly by Friday. And then another headline is that there was an assessment of the damage this had to do with Iran from U.S. strikes on the Iranian nuclear enrichment facilities. They found one of the three sites was, sounds like, destroyed, demolished completely, but the two others were not as, quote, badly damaged and might be able to, you know, resume or bring back operations in a matter of months. So what does that mean? What does that look like? That was that, remember, the enriched materials and that whole debate. So those are some national headlines for you. I know Caroline Leavitt expected to hold a briefing at 1 p.m. today. Trump getting briefed, and he's to sign more executive orders. That's all in the swirl of what's happening today. And what about Montgomery County? Did we talk about Montgomery County? Now I'm forgetting because everything's a blur. Montgomery County, I want to just give you some media analysis on the coverage of these ICE arrests. So this is something that has been a lead story. I know the Philadelphia Inquirer has been covering it to great extent. NBC and 6ABC, they covered it, I think, the most, but all the local stations. What am I talking about? We had federal law enforcement. They had to get a warrant, which requires, right, a judge to sign off on that. And they got a search warrant of a local grocery store, the Gigante store. It's the West Norton Gigante Market, as it's called, in Montgomery County, right there outside of Norristown, if you're familiar. We've seen these ICE officers delivering these types of warrants. So this is not some random raid, as if you know, these federal law enforcement officers, as if they're like driving around Philadelphia on some joyride and say, hey, let's go to that grocery store. That looks like maybe some Hispanics are over there, and let's racially profile people. That is not what's happening here. So this requires due process, but it requires police work at many levels. So here's what I'm told. Number one, there are some places where, you know, family members who have jobs and work and they have kids, and they get upset when they do have the SNAP money, S-N-A-P. So they get some help from the government because they can't make ends meet. And they go to a grocery store and they see people who are not contributing to the system, people who they perceive don't have jobs and have a bunch of kids, and they're getting the same benefits as American United States citizens who are working and have kids to raise and are paying taxes and paying into the system. And you know what? They get mad. They get angry. We've seen that in Philadelphia. Remember, we told you that as far as the African-American vote, but especially the Hispanic vote here in Philadelphia, was the numbers that went for Trump. This is why, because they get aggravated. They stood in a line. They legally became citizens. They're paying into the system. And now they see illegals getting free stuff from our tax, paid for by us, right? So one of the things that nobody ever talks about is that there are people who call, who say, hey, you really ought to go to the super gigante market, the West Norton market, and you ought to check out what's going on there. That's one of the things that happens, okay? In this case, we have confirmation that the 14 individuals who were taken into custody by ICE, by federal officers, that they do not have legal status. And by the way, that was confirmed by the grocery store. They confirmed, yeah, these people, they hoped to become citizens someday, but they are here illegally. So we have that. We have the 14 were taken into custody. And then we have all the reaction from the community. And there are advocacy groups and community members and
I have some audio
very emotional ladies. Oh, you have audio?
Yeah, I have audio of that. Here you go.
In Spanish and in English.
Bless those gathered here.
This group prayed outside the Super Agante market tonight, hours after Immigration and Customs Enforcement says its agents conducted a federal court-authorized raid at the store in West Norridon.
I was just wondering if it's possible for us to, like, help notify families.
ICE tells Action News that 14 people who do not have legal status to be here in the U.S. were taken into custody this morning. The Mexican consulate in Philadelphia says at least six are Mexican nationals.
To know that 14 people were taken today, that's just heartbreaking.
Holly Haven says she was across the street as the raid happened. When she heard screaming and yelling, she ran over.
I saw about seven or eight what I believe to be ICE agents, men and women dressed in full camo, faces covered, what looked to be holding some kind of rifle.
The manager at the market says the 14 taken into custody are men who work here and that many of them are working to become U.S. citizens. Community leaders say immigration officials were recently at this store.
The time when they came last time, they said they want to come back. So we was trying to, you know, give them their red cards and giving them information.
In May, the Department of Homeland Security put out a list of jurisdictions it says are obstructing federal immigration laws. It included Montgomery County.
We're all just people that want to live our lives to be free.
Holding flowers.
So that is 6ABC reporting on this. And we've seen this happen in Lansdale, Montgomery County, Ambler. They were just on right in the area of Conshohocken, I know, and Cheltenham. So across Montgomery County, these different arrests. Now, I don't have word from or confirmation from ICE officials as to whether or not any of these individuals taken into custody who by the grocery store's own word were here illegally. They knew that immigration had visited and they were trying to get some kind of a red card, which means they did not have any kind of visa, red card, whatever. I don't have any allegation or word if there are charges or if any of these individuals, like we've seen in other entities are accused of, you know, being convicted criminals, convicted pedophiles, convicted human traffickers, convicted rapists, which we have reported on that in the past as a result of these ICE arrests or custody situations. So I just want to give that to you down the middle. But you'll notice the reporters are not asking those questions. So as a reporter, I would ask those questions. They're not. I don't see them asking that. So we have to take a break. Be right back. Another headline today, and I had mentioned this earlier, that remember President Trump had said he would hope to reopen the notorious, the famous Alcatraz prison. And so we know that Attorney General Pam Bondi, and there have been a lot of you have joked about this because apparently she is touring Alcatraz among, you know, what we're now being told may actually happen, that in fact they hope to someday announce the reopening of the infamous island prison of Alcatraz. So that's a real thing. I guess Secretary Doug Burgum and Attorney General Pam Bondi are there, and they hope to announce that they're going to try to reopen Alcatraz. So we have the Florida alligator Alcatraz, and then we have the real Alcatraz, reopening these or creating these prisons. We have the Dom Giordano Show teed up for a big Dom show. Hey, Dom.
Hey, Dawn. Thank you. Mike Rowe, one of my top five all time, right at noon, just back from the summit, and he's concerned about AI coding and why people are not going into jobs that he thinks might be a better path. And we'll also talk with Jeff Van Drew. Really surprising. He voted for the discharge. He's one of the co-signers to get the Epstein files out there. He's here at 2:30.
Perfect. A great Dom show just ahead.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.